Bezazar Mizbach, we begin Perek Hamisha, the fifth chapter in the Rambam, Silchas Gzeil Vavid, the laws of robbery and the lost object in the safe and the sick in the book of damages. In this Perek, we discussed regarding having pleasure, benefit from a stolen item, and regarding the rights of the king in regards to things being stolen from them. As Rambam gives Halacha Alpha regarding the prohibition of acquiring something stolen from a gazan and the prohibition of having benefit. Also, liknas davar gazlam and a gazan. It's prohibited to acquire, to buy a stolen object from a robber. Vasla sadle al shinuyoy. It's also forbidden to assist him in changing it, kadeshe kneu, that he should acquire it, because if the gazan acquires it with a shinu mais, with changing it, then he could go subsequently and sell it, and sort of consider his, because he acquired it with the acquisition of a robber. So it's forbidden to assist someone to do this. Shikolo is a debram elu. Whoever does these things and things similar to this, he's supporting the hands of those who commit sins, and he violates what it says, in front of a blind person, one should not place a stumbling block where there's no greater stumbling block than causing someone to sin. It's forbidden to have any benefit from a stolen object, even after the owner gave up hope of getting it back, because just having yish is not an acquisition, and something that's stolen is still considered in the domain of its rightful owner. Now, but this is only if he knows definitively that this is a stolen object. How so? He knows this is stolen from that person. Then it's forbidden to ride on the animal or to plow with it. Halacha gimel. If someone steals a house or a field where you can't really steal property, and it always remains in the domain of its owner, once forbidden to go into it, meaning to pass by it or to enter it, in the summertime because of the heat, in the winter because of the rain, it's forbidden to go in it. And if he dwells inside of it, he has to pay the rent to the owners, like the halacha of someone who dwells in his friend's property without permission, which we spoke about in Perek Gimel Halacha Tes. Now, gazel the kolam v'asmem gesher. If someone steals a palm tree, a branch, v'asmem gesher, and he makes a bridge out of it, it's forbidden to pass over it. Anything similar to this idea, if he didn't have yish and shin rishus, and also not shina maisa, so therefore it comes out that the one who stole it did not really acquire it. It's forbidden to have benefit from the stolen object because it still belongs to the owner. It's forbidden to utilize it. Halacha Dalet continues regarding collecting the stolen object. Misha avar, if someone violated this prior halacha, v'achla gzeila achar yeish, and he ate the stolen object after the owner gave up hope, so potter milashan, he's exempt from paying because this is talking specifically regarding someone who did not commit the act of gzeila by the sons or the others that ate the stolen object, where they're exempt from paying back to the victim. But we just said they're not supposed to, but after the fact, they're exempt. V'mochel koid miyesh, now if they ate before the owner gave up hope, v'rotza bon ligvis min oichel, and the owner wants to collect from the item that was eaten, so then goyven, from the one who ate it, so goyven they could collect. Why? Because shadayim b'shusim hi. It was still in their domain, meaning when they ate it, comes out that the stolen object was still belonging to the owner, as if he stole directly from the victim, because he didn't give up hope. And therefore they could collect even from the one who ate it. But if they want to give him the gazan, they could also collect from the thief. They could choose which one, because ultimately the gazan owes them, and also the one who ate it is also responsible. That was if it's before yish, but if it was after yish, then we said they're exempt from paying. Halacha hey, a gozel b'mes. Someone steals and he dies. Bein shehechel es gzeil labanim achar yish. Now, whether he gave it to his sons to eat after the original owner gave up hope, so even though they're exempt from paying, as we say, because after yish, or ben shloi hechilim, whether he didn't give them to eat, ela mechara oyavda, rather if he sold it or forgot lost, and there was no benefit for him from the stolen object, still doesn't make a difference. Imaniach karka, if the thief left over real estate, chayav l'shalom, then the children have to pay. Even though the gazlan's already dead, because when he was still alive, his property became indebted to the victim to pay back the value of this thing that he stole. But that's regarding his real estate of minamatalin. But for movable items in chayim l'shalom, the orphans are not responsible to pay back. It's again, it's not because of anything that they did wrong, because even if they ate it, it was only achayish, and they're not responsible for that. But it's for the father debt that he accrued, which is on his property, which has a lien. But not for movable items. Should demeha gzeil lechayv heim al gazlin, because the monetary value of the stolen object is an obligation on the gazlin, on the one who stole. And movable items are not indebted. There's no lien on the movable items for the creditor, because the halachic obligation of this gazlin is like that of a regular debtor, which is only on this real estate. Now, however, halacha vav says the Ram kvar tikna goinim, but the goinim, which was the period of the Torah giants before the Rishonim, that of the Rambam, they already instituted ligvez baal chayv ben amatatlan, that a creditor could collect removable items from the orphans that the father left over, because since many people don't really have real estate anymore in those times, creditors do depend on movable items. And vafil b'mil v'al peh, even by an oral loan, which would be on the properties that they have that wasn't sold off, lefikach therefore chayavim l'shalom. They do have to pay, even regarding the value of what was stolen, is that it's like a oral law. Bein achlu, bein lo achlu, whether they ate, whether they didn't eat, bein nisyashu, bein lo nisyashu, whether they gave up, whether they did not give up, bein nakarko, bein menatal nashaniach, whether it's from real estate or even from movable items that was left over. Halacha Zayin continues regarding if someone acquires from a gazlan. Someone purchases movable items from a robber. So it's kelekech menagadim, says the same halacha like when someone purchases from a thief, which was explained in length in Hilchos Geneva Perkei Halacha Beis and on. So the following criteria. Im gazlan mefursamo, if he's a well-known robber, la'asa b'takan sashok, they did not institute what's called the remedy for buying in the marketplace, because the person should have entertained to say that this object that he's buying is a stolen object, and therefore he has to give back the stolen object to the victim without the monies, and he'll have to collect his monies from the gazan who sold it to him. But then the ainam of force, but if it was not a well-known robber, then also by takana sashuk, then the same takana of the marketplace applies, and hence, v'noisna nigzal damim shanasan. The victim has to give the monetary value that the buyer had paid to the gazan, even though it wasn't really the gazan's to sell, but he didn't know. He has to get compensated for the value. For the kerch gives the loss, but then the rightful owner could take back the stolen object. And then then he goes and he tries to collect from the thief the value of the stolen object, which he had to pay to the buyer to get his object back. But if let's say the owner had already given up hope, then the consumer acquires, together with the yish, that he gave up hope, with the shin rishos, that it changed possessions to the buyer. The actual object that was stolen itself, in contrast to the previous case, which he only has rights to the monetary value of that object because of takan zashog, he requires the actual object itself. Vein makzir doesn't give it back, and therefore he's not party to this at all. All the victim could do is go to the gazlan and try to get back his monetary value of what was stolen from him. Halacha Ches continues regarding the prohibition of having benefit from a gazlan. Aslo hanis from the gazlan is prohibited to have benefit from a robber, because we presume whatever you're going to get from the gazlan is a stolen object. Now, if there was a minority of his, even though most of his monies are stolen, but a minority of it is shaloi, is his own, then you are allowed to benefit from the gazlan, until you know definitively that the item that he wants to give you is stolen, but up until then you could have benefit. Now, in contrast, Halacha Tas discusses people that we presume that they're thieves and that they're robbers for everything. B'nei Adam, shechaskasin gazlanim. Regarding people that we presume them to be robbers, and we presume that all their money is from theft, and the reason their jobs that they do, the professions, is the profession of robbing, and all their money is coming from there. Could go in, for example, hamichsen, tax collectors, balistim, and bandits. Aslan's men, I'll benefit from them. The presumption of this job is someone is robbing, and therefore, the imit star from dinar from that tevishlam, you can't even combine when you want to get change for dinar from their box, which is where they put their money that they're making. Shakol b'cheskes gazel, because everything is the presumption that it's stolen. And although you're giving him exact money and you're getting just change, there is still some benefit that you get from that. And therefore, from his box itself, at least that would be forbidden. Halacha yod not lo meichsim kesusif. Let's say the tax collector, he takes in his collection his garment. V'chzir l'achas, and he gives him back a different one. Or not or he takes a donkey, gives him back a different donkey. Sa'adeh shaloi, the one who gets that back from the tax collector, they could keep it. Why? Because it's like a sale. And we presume that the original owner gave up hope because he can't get it back from the tax collector. And therefore the person doesn't know, he doesn't know definitively that this was a stolen object. So altogether, he could keep what's given back to him from the tax collector. Now, but if the person was a pious person, and they stringent himself, if he ends up finding out that who this belongs to, he gives it back to the original owners, and again, not to the tax collector himself, who he got it from. But when we say this, in the Halacha test, that the tax collector is like a bandit, and therefore you can't have any benefit from this person, because you're presuming everything is stolen, if the tax collector is a Gentile, where that's what they do, and they just steal, because the tax collectors, they charge more than really what they're allowed to, or a tax collector just stands up on his own, and he's just enforcing this collection. Or even if he's a tax collector appointed by the king, but it's in no set amount. He takes what he wants to and leaves what he wants to. So therefore, that's the Wild West, and therefore that's something that is considered gezel. But regarding a tax that the king designates, he says you should take a third or a quarter or some set amount of taxes, and he appoints a Jewish tax collector to collect this amount for the king, and it's known that this person is trustworthy, it doesn't add on anything more than what the king decreed, he's not under the presumption of being a robber, because the law of the king is law. Not only that, not only is the tax collector not presumed to be a gazlan, actually the other person violates, who tries to escape from the taxes, he's actually the sinner. Because he's stealing the portion of the king, where the king was a Gentile, where the king was a Jew, then actually you have an obligation to pay the taxes, and not only the collector not the sinner, but the other person would be a sinner. Halacha Bis continues with this theme regarding the taxes of the king and regarding the removal of the rights of the owner's rights in his monies. So to a king, if he places a tax on the members of the city, even if it's on each individual, but it's a davar katzav mishana lashana, set amount from year to year, or on property taxes, each field a set amount, or shagazer, he has a decree, whoever violates this law, some type of violation, then all his properties are going to be taken to the treasury of the king. Or whoever's on the field at the time of the granary when they're doing all the final things on the fields, he's going to have to give the taxes that's on that field. Whether he's the owner of the field, he's not the owner of the field, because he didn't want that the collectors are going to have to go to try to chase down the owner of the field. You're doing the work, you're collecting, you got to pay it. Any types of these rulings regarding taxes in the gazel, it's not considered robbery. And if a Jew is the tax that is collecting these taxes for the king, he's not in the presumption of being a robber. But he's kosher, he's upstanding, as long as he doesn't add on, doesn't deviate, doesn't take anything from himself, then he's not considered as a gazan. So to melech, let's say king gets angry on one of his servants, or his attendants, the people of his country. And he confiscates his field or his courtyard in a gazel. It's not considered robbery. And therefore, someone else is allowed to have benefit from that. Whoever purchased it from the king, from the government, it's his. He could keep it. And the owner cannot take it away from him. In contrast, when he purchases from a gazlan, even if the owner gives up hope, you have to give it back to the victim without any monies, as the Rambam says later on, Perek Ches, Halacha Yudalev. In this case, no, he could keep it, because this is the law of all kings. That they confiscate the monies of their servants when they get angry at them. But therefore the owner, the king, removes the rights, the ownership of the owner. But therefore this courtyard, this field becomes like ownerless. And whoever purchased it from the king, he gets the rights to it. But if the king takes the field or the courtyard of one of the people of the country without laws that he had carved out, so then the king is also, he's robbing. So and whoever purchases from the king, the owner could remove it from his property. The rule of thumb is, which this summarizes all the previous three halachas, any law that the king had decreed for everyone, and it's not for this independent person, in a gazel, that's not considered stealing. And whoever takes, if it's only taken from this person independently, shaloi kadosa yidu lakol, not by a law which is well known for everyone, elochama said, rather he's extorting from this person, he's a gossip, then the king's also stealing. Lefikach, therefore, gaboy ha-melech b'shoychup. So regarding the tenants of the king and his officers, shemeichim ha-sodis b'mas ha-katzav al-sodis, where they sell people's fields, because of the outstanding taxes that are on their fields, because he didn't pay up his taxes. Mimkar mimkar. The sale is a valid sale, because that's a well-known law of the kings, where they sell fields that the owners do not pay up taxes. Avamashal kol ish v'ish, but regarding the tax on every single person, in the geiva element adam atzma, that could only be collected from the person himself, meaning that they grab the person, they force him to pay, but his properties, there's no lien on them for that head tax. And if they do sell the fields for the head tax, how do you say, that's not considered a valid sale? Unless if that was the law of this king, then he's allowed to go ahead and make such a law, but it has to be a law. That's not a generic law that is a global, universal law. Now, regarding a king that his laws were, shakoshali yidna hamash ala sada, whoever does not pay the taxes on his fields, tia sada l'nois namas, then the field will belong to whoever does pay the taxes on that field. Uvarach ba'ala sada namas, now the owner of the field, he couldn't afford the taxes, so he fled because of the taxes. Ubozeh, now a different person comes along, b'nos namash ala la melech, and he gives the taxes on that field to the king, v'achal peres, and now he treats it as his own, he's eating the produce of that field. Ein ze gazel, that's not considered robbing. Elo echal peres, rather he could eat the produce, but nois namas, and he'll pay the taxes, achiyach zabal, until the original owners come back, and they pay up the taxes, and then the property goes back to their ownership. Shadin ha-melech dinu, again, because the law of the government is law, k'mashamarnu, like we explained this already in Halacha Yidalf. Halacha Tazayin, b'chein melech shagaz, it's totally if a king decrees, shekol mishit mas hakotzav ala ish, whoever gives the taxes that's designated on this person regarding his head tax, that this person is not paying, yishtabit b'zesh le'nosin, that he gets to use this person who didn't pay up his own head tax, meaning he could use him as a servant, uvo Yisrael, and the Jew comes along with nosna mas sha'al Yisrael ze'oni, and he gives the taxes for this Jew who's a poor pauper, couldn't afford his own taxes, and he pays the tax of him. He could work him more than the normal. Shadin ha-melech din, again, because that's the law of the government. But says the Rambam, you cannot work him like a slave, literally, because the pasuk says, lo yisavid by this oven. But you're allowed to work him to the bone, again, just not like a slave, because of the fact that he owns him now. Halach yidzayin. Melech shekaras ilonis. Regarding a king that cuts down trees, shabali bottom of homeowners, vasmem gesha, cuts down people's trees and he makes a bridge out of it. But one is permitted to pass over that bridge, in contrast to, let's say, a regular person steals trees and he makes a bridge, where we said in Halacha Gimel it's forbidden to a person to pass over it, he by the king, you're allowed to. Chen totim horas bottom, let's say he knocked down houses, va'asom derech, and he made a path, or a wall, but you're allowed to have benefit from that path and that wall. Anything like this, again, because the law of the king is law. But when we say this, that the law of the king is law, is we're talking about regarding a king that his currency is something that's used in circulation in those lands where he rules. That means to say that the people of those lands, they agreed, but some chadaitim, and they rely on Shehu the name that he is their lord, and they're servants to him. But if let's say his name and his currency, it's not out there, and people don't really recognize him as the king. So essentially, so although he's forcing people, but he's essentially like a robber that just has a lot of might. He's just like a group of bandits that are armed. That their laws are not laws. So this king with all his quote-unquote servants, they're really robbers for all halachas, and the fact that they're enforcing doesn't really mean anything, and therefore will not have the halacha of din ha-melech din, and it's going to have the halacha of gezel, like all those laws that we said as applies to gezel, not for that of the rights of a king.